on Psalm 126, 2 through 3. Psalm 126, 2 through 3. And it says this, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Notice specifically these words in this verse, "hath done." Say, "hath done."
Hath done.
Interesting. We need to understand that the Lord hath done things for us.
Yes, that's right.
He's already done things for us. We just have to receive them and act upon them. The whole thing about faith is hear what God hath done, believe it, and then act upon it. It's very simple, right? You have to hear first, and then you have to believe it. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. But then on the same line there, as you hear and believe, receive it, and then you've got to act on it. You have to act on what you've heard. That's when it becomes a reality to you.
Yes, yes.
For if we do not act upon what we hear and believe and have received, if we don't act on it, then it doesn't really have any power through us and working through us. But there was a proclamation. I'm so thrilled with this analogy because in 1863, then President Lincoln signed a Emancipation Proclamation. You ever heard about that?
Yes.
1863, President Lincoln issued a proclamation freeing all slaves in the territories that were still at war with the Union. There was approximately 3.5 million. This proclamation that the president signed with his own hand and his own pen declared that all slaves in these territories were free. It was signed, sealed, and delivered. And so all of these slaves that were on the plantations, all these slaves that were, some of them were literally in bondage, but they were in bondage to slavery, they were free. They were free. That's what this document, this Emancipation Proclamation, instituted, this freedom. But, unfortunately, many that heard, they heard, but they didn't believe it. They would hear it through people saying things, and oh, but they didn't believe. Some heard, they didn't believe. Others heard and believed, but they didn't act upon it. They just stayed. They said, this can't be right. This can't be true. So they stayed where they were at. But others did hear, believe, and receive, and acted out their freedom, and walked out their freedom. And that's the way it is with things that God hath done for us. We have to hear, and then believe it, and then act on it. You have to act like you would if it was true, act like you would if you had it, because you do.
Yes.
If it's already been done. He's not. Jesus has already risen from the dead.
Yeah.
He's already ascended up into the heavenlies, into the heavenly realms, and he already sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's already been done.
That's right.
Right?
That's
it's already been done. That's where he's at right now. The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost to fill the church and manifest the power of God, and the Holy Spirit is still here.
Right.
He's here this morning.
Right.
You brought him in with you. He's upon you and around you, and he's with you. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he helps us, doesn't he? He helps us. He's our counselor, comforter, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. Amen. He is on the inside of us. Everything that we need is in him, in Christ. So I want to give you seven things, if you're taking notes, that he's already done for us. Hath done. Say, hath done.
Hath done.
He hath, number one, he hath already delivered us. He's already delivered you. He's already delivered you. Not going to deliver you. He's already delivered you from sin and all of what sin entailed. The sin was death. Sin, the results of sin was physical death, sickness and disease, poverty. Everything that was sinful and in sin was put upon Jesus on the cross. And on the cross, he took all of the sin, all the curse of the law. He became a curse for us on the cross. He had sickness and disease on his body. Think about that. He carried it all. By his stripes, you were healed. It was done. He said, it is finished. Therefore, healing is not just something that you earn, not something you gain by doing something or being a good person. It is a free gift. You receive it. But you have to hear about it first. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, not just by having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us able or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, there it is, hath delivered us from the power of darkness. See, the power of darkness does not want you to know that you've already been delivered and to act like you would if you were delivered, because you are. The enemy keeps people in bondage by keeping them from the truth, keeping their eyes from the enlightenment and the revelation of that have already been delivered. If we knew that we were already delivered and we're already set free, we would walk out and we would do great things in the name of the Lord. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit wants us to be free and whole and powerful to go out and reach the world. Yes. Around us. Go out and reach those people that are around us and be bold about it, because he's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Not only that, the anointing is in you. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. So as you go forth, you are exhibiting that power, the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead. You are exhibiting that Holy Ghost dunamis power wherever you go, but you have to know that you have it on the inside. As you go out and minister to people, it says, delivered us. The word delivered in the Greek, it's the same word. It means this. It means to a current, or to draw oneself, or to rescue. And it's like the current, like a river. You've been drawn out of the river of sin that was carrying you down a wrong path. You were plucked out. You were drawn out of that river. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? In the old life, when you were going down that road and you didn't like what you were, where you were at, you did. But the truth is that you've already been delivered and you receive it, praise God. And when you receive it, you've been plucked out or drawn out of that river. The word Moses, the name Moses means drawn out. We know Moses was a mighty deliverer. You've been delivered to help deliver somebody else. You've been set free from something to help somebody else be set free from that something. You've been delivered from alcohol, maybe, so you can help somebody else be delivered from alcohol. You've been delivered from smoking, so you can help somebody else get delivered from that. Whatever it is you have experienced and been delivered from, you are a deliverer, Christ in you, to help somebody else.
Yes.
Right? So number one, he's already delivered you. Number two, he's already blessed you. He's already blessed you. That's why when you say, I am blessed, you're saying the truth. You are blessed. It says in Ephesians 1:3, and I'm going to have scripture for all this so you can read it and study it yourself. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed. There it is right there. Half blessed. Not going to bless. You're already blessed.
That's good.
He's not going to bless you. He's already blessed you. What? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's already blessed you. He's already said you are blessed. Because, in fact, the word blessed is the Greek word eulogeo. We've heard that before. Where have we heard that before? When we're supposed to bless those that curse us. How do we walk in love? We walk in the eulogio, blessing others that say something against us. The word eulogio is to speak well of, to invoke a blessing or a benediction upon, to prosper. He's already blessed you. He's already prospered you. He's already done that. He's already spoken well over you. He's already said, Nick, you are healed. He's already said, you are healed. You are delivered. You already are blessed. He's spoken that over us. So as he's spoken over us, eulogio, and blessed us, we need to speak that over ourselves. Right? All we're doing is speaking what God has spoken already over us and speaking it and professing it over ourselves. I use this analogy all the time. If those of you who have flown in an airplane, raise your hand. You know what happens in your... You're going up into the stratosphere, you go up into thousands of feet. All of a sudden, they tell you about this thing called the oxygen mask. And they tell you that when they experience an emergency, that oxygen mask is going to drop down. But they tell you one thing, very important. What is it? Put the oxygen mask upon yourself before you help somebody else.
Yes.
Always. Because if you don't, you're not going to be any good to anybody. Because you're not going to be able to help somebody else put their mask on. So always put your mask on before. We need to be whole. We need to be well. We need to know who we are and what we have and where we're seated. We need to understand that we've already been blessed. We know that. We've got to know that so we can help somebody else.
Yes, that's right.
We cannot help somebody with a cup of a cold glass of water if that cup is empty. Right? You want your cup to be full and overflowing. David said, my cup overflowing. Our cup needs to be overflowing. And minister out of the overflow. Right? Minister to other people out of the overflow. And so he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So that's why in the morning time you can get up and say, thank you, Lord, that I am blessed and I am healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed from my head to my toes. Thank you that your healing virtue is flowing through my body right now to every organ and fiber and cell in my body. You've given me a sound mind. I have sound hearing and perfect hearing. My organs in my body are well and strong and healed. What are you doing? You're just saying what God has already spoken over you. You are eulogizing over you. Eulogio. You're speaking the word over yourself. You're agreeing with God's word. There's power in agreement. There's power in agreement. When you're on the same side of the rope and pulling with God, that's when the power happens. See, a lot of Christians are pulling on the opposite side of the rope. God is saying, you're healed, and they're saying, I don't believe in that. So-and-so didn't get healed, so that stuff won't work for me. That stuff won't work for me. That may be work for somebody else, but that won't work for me. They're pulling against God. Let's pull with God's word.
Yes.
By his stripes you were healed, therefore you can say, I am healed. And I heard somebody say one time, well, I'll say it if I feel like it. Or I'll do it if it's easy. Brother Hagin used to say that. He would counsel a lot of people and said, I'll do that if it's easy. No, you have to do it even in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of pain. Even in the midst of bad reports. Right? Even in the midst of things, you've got to speak the word only. Amen?
Amen.
And say, thank you, Lord, that I am healed.
I am
healed. By the stripes of Jesus,
right.
I am healed.
That's right.
So number four, he has already quickened us. He's already quickened us. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, and here is the catch, together with Christ. Underline that. Together with Christ. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Has made us alive together. 2,000 years ago, we know the story. Jesus was in the tomb. We celebrate it once a year, but we should celebrate every day. As believers, as Christians, we should celebrate the resurrection and the power of the resurrection and what that means for us every day of the year, 365 days of the year. We should celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, because in so doing, the quickening Jesus, you were quickened. When God reached down by the Holy Ghost and reached down and raised up the body of Christ, raised him from the dead, that meant that every Christian, praise God, you and I know that we received it sometime in our life and we were born again.
Yes.
We were born again. We received it and we were born again. A new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
That's right.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
You're a new creature. So, you have already been quickened. That's why when you share Jesus with somebody, you're sharing something that's already happened. And they just have to get the revelation and receive it. See, yes, I received Jesus as my Lord. He died for me. He rose. He hung on the cross for me. He took my sin. He was the sacrifice. He was the lamb that was slain. He was sin for me. God put it all upon him so that we could be free. Free of the bondages of sin. Jesus became a curse so that we did not have to bear the curse. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus was born again. Jesus in John 3:3 told Nicodemus, and I say this very fondly, it was Nick at night. Nicodemus came to Jesus, the first Nick at night, and he said, what is this? Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can we go back into our mother's womb? Jesus said, no, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, praise God. We got to be born again. It's not preached like it used to be, but we need to tell people, born again.
Yes.
Born again. Receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you can have a new life in him. Born again. A newness of God. And now you are in right fellowship with God. You're in fellowship with Almighty God. Praise God. He's not only quickened us, born again, but this is so important for the body of Christ to know today. This is number five. He's already raised us up. You've been born again, you've been quickened, and you've already have raised us up together. Raised us up together. Yeah, get to that. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up. What's the next word? Together. And made us sit together. Woo! Raised up together. I love that right there. Together, together, together. Our relationship with Jesus Christ. Together, together, together. As he is, so are we. That mighty power that God performed in raising up Jesus from the dead. This is the whole crux of the salvation. This is what the world needs to know today. It's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ and him crucified, raised up from the dead, raised up into the heavenly places and sitting down at the right hand of the Father of God. Right now, that's where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And as he's been raised up, you've been raised up. Every member of the body of Christ, all of you in here today, you are all members of his body.
Amen. Amen.
We're walking on this earth, members of the body of Christ. He's the head, and we are his body. If we get if the body of Christ ever got the revelation of that Jesus is the head and we are his literal body on the earth, whatever Jesus did, we would do. Right? Whatever he did, we would do. If he went to parties and changed water to wine, well, wouldn't that be a news article? Yeah. Or maybe change the wine to water. I don't know. But Jesus went places and he just reached out to people. He healed people. He made clay out of spittle and clay, put it on the blind. He did unreligious things.
That's right.
To help people. To show people about the kingdom of God. He talked to the untouchable. He talked to the woman at the well. He talked to Gentiles. Yeah, he did things that the religious folks, they would just lose their minds with. Religious people are the ones that are the hardest to win to Jesus Christ. Because they believe that they're all right. All the things they do, They're good works. But I'll tell you this morning, it's nothing of our good works that gets us into eternal life. It's all because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our belief in him.
Amen.
It's all about Jesus. Amen. Whenever you talk to somebody and you're witnessing to them, never let them stray you away from Jesus. Never let them stray you away to religious doctrines and things of the law and this and that and other people's experience. Just bring them right back to Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? He loves you.
Amen.
And you can make him Lord of your life. Number six, he's already seated us together. It says in Ephesians 2:6, the final, it says, and made us sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. He's already, look at this, he's already seated us together in heavenly places in Christ. And if we can understand this, faith rests. Faith rests. The body of Christ, really, if Jesus is seated, that's where we're at. We're seated. Faith rests. We shouldn't be all stressed out and all anxious about things. We should just sit in rest in faith. Jesus was asleep on the pillow. We can rest in faith, knowing that it's coming to pass.
Yes.
I know
yes.
our new building's coming to pass.
Yes.
I know our church building is coming. I know, I can see it. I know it's coming to pass, but I'm resting in it. I'm resting in it. I'm not anxious about it. I'm not fretting. I'm not sweating. I'm just resting. I was in a meeting one time with a well-known evangelist, and he was in need of a better mode of transportation. And actually, he was believing for an airplane. And he said, "I just don't have the money for it, but I need $30,000 for an airplane." And there was a man there that stood up and said, "Well, I've got it for you."
Wow.
Well, and you say, "Well, why did this particular evangelist needed this airplane to get overseas and get to certain places they need to go to preach the gospel?" And he was a pilot. And so faith rests. Faith will rest. We just believe, God, that your healing is here. If you're sick, if you have something in your body, believe God and rest and know that by his stripes you are healed.
Yes.
Rest in that.
Yes.
I had to rest when I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. At first it was anxiety, and then it got to rest. It got to rest. Like, I'm resting in the Word. I'm resting in the Word. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And so I began to thank God for my healing. And as I began to thank him, I began to get my vision of my healing. I began to see myself as something better than I presently have. I saw myself as healed. I saw what God sees in me. You are the healed of the Lord. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, number one, he's already delivered you. Number two, he's already blessed you. Number three, he's already healed you. Number four, he's already quickened you, made you alive in Christ. Number five, he's already raised you up together with Christ. You've already been raised. And finally, number six, he's already seated you together with Christ. And this week, when you are thinking about things, when you're going through your day, and especially in the morning time, I like to get up early in the morning and just where it's quiet. And just when it's real quiet, just get outside, you know, where it's real quiet. And of course, now I'm hearing some chickens in some neighborhoods. I told my wife, it sounds like Haiti. I was on a trip to Haiti, and I could hear all the time roosters crowing and things. But it felt like that because some people are raising chickens in their backyard. And then with chickens, you get coyotes. And with coyotes, you get hawks. It's the animal kingdom, right? So, where was I at? Oh, when it's quiet, then you can really just profess the word. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, that you've prospered me. Thank you that you've given me all things that pertain to life
yes.
and godliness. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. That's all I got.